Subheading: Who really is the faithful and discreet slave? Jesus repeatedly stressed the importance of his disciples staying awake and responsive to his sudden thief-like arrival. At Luke 12:35-40, Jesus illustrated his coming by saying, "Let your loins be girded, and your lamps be burning, and you yourselves be like men waiting for their master when he returns from the marriage, so that at his arriving and knocking, they may at once open to him. Happy are those slaves whom the master on arriving finds watching. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself and make them recline at the table and will come alongside and minister to them. And if he arrives in the second watch, even if in the third, and finds them thus, happy are they. But know this, that if the householder had known at what hour the thief would come, he would have kept watching and not have let his house be broken into. You also keep ready, because at an hour that you do not think likely, the Son of Man is coming." Even a casual reading of Jesus' illustration ought to impress upon the reader that the timing of his coming is unknowable, and that Jesus was emphasizing upon his disciples that a future day of reckoning and accounting lay ahead for the members of God's household who would be on earth when the Master suddenly arrives. However, as already stated in connection with other prophecies, the Watchtower's interpretation of this simple illustration has rendered Christian watchfulness entirely unnecessary, since Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus' thief-like coming already occurred back in 1914. Even though some Watchtower articles also apply the parable to a future coming of Christ, the fundamental teaching is that the faithful slave has already been appointed over the master's belongings, which clearly contradicts Christ's parable. To illustrate the point, a Watchtower article written over 50 years ago states, "The world events since A.D. 1914, and particularly the events among Jehovah's people since A.D. 1918, give visible evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ, having come into his kingdom, has come to God's spiritual temple to carry on the final judgment at the house of God, and, in expression of his judgment work, he has found a faithful and discreet slave and has appointed him over all his belongings, all his visible kingdom interest on earth. Hence, in order to render complete recognition of the theocratic organization today, we have to take recognition of this faithful and discreet slave that the returned Lord and Judge has appointed over all his belongings." The Watchtower's teaching has not changed in half a century. Hence, an article in the January 15, 2001 Watchtower reads, "The faithful slave has been appointed over all his master's belongings. These include facilities at headquarters in New York State, USA, and the 110 branches now operating worldwide. The members of the slave class know that they will be called upon to render an account for the way in which they have used what has been entrusted to them." The statement just quoted is not accurate. First, the Watchtower states that the faithful slave has been appointed over all the facilities of the society. But even assuming that the governing body represents the worldwide body of anointed Christians, the governing body does not control the various legal entities and facilities that come under the umbrella of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, Incorporated. In 2000, the governing body resigned from positions on the 7-member board of directors and entrusted complete control and ownership of the society to a board made up exclusively of non-anointed individuals. For example, Don Adams, a non-governing body member, is the current president of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society of New York, Incorporated. The governing body no longer has any legal authority as regards the operation and ownership of the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, Inc. The implications of these actions are that the governing body has made Christ-anointed congregation, which has supposedly already been appointed over all the master's belongings, subject to the board of directors of the Watchtower, Inc. But the question is, how likely is it that Jesus would consent to his faithful slave abdicating their control over his belongings to persons not even professing to be of the so-called slave class? It is unthinkable that Christ would sanction such actions. While Watchtower officials steadfastly maintain that they have already been appointed over all of his belongings, a sensible interpretation of the scriptures indicates otherwise. According to a straightforward reading of Jesus' illustration, there are two appointments of the slave, but only one arrival of the master. What does that mean? Well, consider. After Jesus exhorted his disciples to stay on the watch and be prepared for his return, Peter asked Jesus to whom the illustration applied. In reply, Christ asked the question, "Who really is the faithful steward, the discreet one, whom his master will appoint over his body of attendants to keep giving them their measure of food supplies at the proper time? Happy is that slave if his master on arriving finds him doing so. I tell you truthfully, he will appoint him over all his belongings." In the quoted verse, the phrase "will appoint" appears twice. The first appointment by the master places his slave over his body of attendants to keep giving them their measure of food supplies. Based upon whether or not the slave is faithful to his commission, the master then appoints the slave over all his belongings. A second appointment. The crucial question is this: when does the master appoint the slave over all his belongings? The text clearly indicates the second appointment takes place upon the master's arriving as a thief in the night. Another pertinent question is this: how many times does the master arrive? Reasonably, there is only one arrival. In the original illustration about the bridegroom returning from the marriage, Jesus used the words arriving, arrive, and coming. The point was to impress upon his disciples the need to stay in expectation of the master's eventual arrival. Only those slaves who are found in faithful anticipation will be appointed over all the Lord's possessions. So, the Watchtower's interpretation is in error. If Jesus' thief-like arrival has not taken place yet, which it most assuredly has not, then neither has the master appointed his faithful slave over his belongings. What is more, when the faithful slave has finally been appointed over all his master's belongings, that appointment is irrevocable. Jesus gave numerous other illustrations, such as the parable of the talents, which indicates that Christ's anointed disciples are entrusted with the master's money and are judged as to their faithfulness in handling the master's silver in his absence. And just like the illustration of the faithful and discreet slave, the slaves judged to have been faithful in the discharge of their fiduciary duties are entrusted with more of the master's assets. It is worth noting, too, that Jesus also prefaced the parable of the talents by saying, "Keep on the watch, therefore, because you know neither the day nor the hour." Another important similarity between the parable of the talents and the illustration of the faithful and discreet slave is that both prophetic stories feature a wicked slave who is ultimately condemned and stripped of his privileges and thrown out, where he weeps and gnashes his teeth, like unfaithful Judas did before he destroyed himself. In spite of the obvious parallels between the two illustrations, the Watchtower assigns the fulfillment of the parable of the talents to the future, at least in principle, all the while doggedly insisting that the related parable of the faithful and evil slave was fulfilled in 1918. Even more contradictory, the 2001 Watchtower previously quoted stated, "The members of the slave class know that they will be called upon to render an account for the way in which they have used what has been entrusted to them." There most certainly is a future day of accounting before Jehovah. But if the members of the slave class have already been appointed over all things, as the Watchtower claims, then according to Christ's illustrations, both the faithful and unfaithful slaves have already rendered an account of themselves before Jesus. Again, what accounts for the Watchtower's contradictory interpretations of Christ's parables? There are several factors that weigh heavily. One, the organization has apparently gone beyond what is written in an attempt to establish absolute interpretive authority over Jehovah's Witnesses. By claiming to have already been appointed over all the Master's belongings, instead of merely being a humble servant feeding his fellow slaves, the Watchtower is intent on establishing unchallengeable authority as Jehovah's sole channel of communication. The popular view among Jehovah's Witnesses is that anyone who does not accept the Watchtower's every utterance as being true is rejecting the slave's authority, which may not be the case at all. Secondly, if the illustration is taught correctly, it indicates that the faithful slave and the evil slave coexist in the same household up until Jesus arrives as a thief in the night. If the Watchtower were to admit that the faithful slave has not yet been appointed over all the Lord's belongings, it would require them to also come to terms with the fact that not all the slaves in the house of God are faithful. The truth is, Christ's congregation is presided over by both faithful and unfaithful slaves up until the very moment the Master unexpectedly arrives for the inspection. No wonder Jesus framed his discussion of the slaves of the household in the form of the thought-provoking question, "Who really is the faithful and discreet slave?" The answer will not be apparent until Jesus actually distinguishes his faithful slave and dismisses the unfaithful slave during the initial phase of the parousia and the judgment of the house of God.